This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Good afternoon, it's Back Row and Chill. It's Friday, it's 4pm for the next 2 hours, roughly. We are going to be entertaining you with all of the upcoming film news. What is it? TV news, social media. But let me first introduce my co-host.
Who's we?
Who's we? Exactly, who's we? It is Alex Hoban.
Ta-da! Woo! It's been a while.
It has been.
But I'm back.
Many a month. You're back to entertain everyone.
Well, I will do my utmost. And no promises. I'm feeling a bit sick. Not in terms of, like, cool sick or good sick. Like, bad, as you can probably tell by my voice.
Oh.
Sorry, producers and Johanna, but...
Are you ill?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Is this, like, hungover ill?
No, not
like
at all.
Genuine flu?
Not at all. Thirsty Thursdays was not a thing for me last night, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I'd have loved it to be, but no, this is just cold. I mean, yeah, I was in Iceland this time last week, so now I'm feeling a bit
dropping
down.
That in. Yeah, when I just passed through Iceland the other
it's
day.
Cold.
It was
hence
really cold.
My cold, yeah, I think so.
Okay, you got a really good excuse to be ill then. Well, I'm not feeling ill, I'm feeling brilliant, so if I'm ill next week, I'll blame you.
Yeah, my bad.
Well, we've got a really jam-packed show for you coming up, and we are going to be doing Facebook Live again, so if you can get yourself near a computer or a phone or some sort of technology that can get you onto the Facebook page, then log into... Well, actually, it'll be on my Facebook, so go to Johanna James' Facebook page, and in about an hour, we're going to be doing a challenge live, which I'm a bit scared about because it's going to hurt.
Okay, fill me in. What are we doing?
I've bought a lie detector.
Oh.
Like machine, but it electrocutes you if you get it wrong.
Okay, well, already there's a few red flags there. Lie detection is well known that that's not real.
It's totally real. It's a hologram.
Especially on a £5 machine.
No,
I've seen Jeremy Kyle.
It was at least six.
I've seen Jeremy Kyle, and some of those people did not sleep with who they said they did.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've worked it out myself, so...
You're the lie detector.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the beauty of those shows, I guess.
Well, we're gonna be testing the machine out live, so if you want to check that out, then go to my Facebook page. But you can also check out our Twitter. It's at FUBAR Radio. So tweet us throughout the show, and we will shout you out if you tell us anything interesting or ask us anything. You can ask us anything you want. We're pretty open.
Yeah,
we're pretty,
exactly.
Like, you know,
just go wild.
TMI, too much information, whatever.
There's no censorship on this show, so literally go wild.
Just go for it. Or you can email us in, chill@fubarradio.com. Now, every week I put together a plethora of songs that are sort of to do with film or TV or anything that I'm loving from soundtracks and whatnot. Actually, on Spotify, they've got a really good playlist, which is Trending in Film.
Okay.
So I found a lot of them from this one, so I'm going to go for this one.
So you copy and pasted, essentially.
I copy and pasted this one, but it is a really good song. It's called
Busted.
Devil's Whisper.
Busted.
I do my research, all right? It's by Rory, who I don't know who that is. I'm not really cool with, like, music people. I just listen to soundtracks. Anyway, I love it. And so this is going to be the first song of the day. It's his Back Row and Chill.
Go on, Rory.
You better run.
Worthwhile. brother, you could probably win in a shit-talking competition. My composition's the opposition of all the shit that got niggas wishing to spit tragic. The shit that get you deal crack and you spend cash on cement asses. My heart burns in the fire of truth. Got the heat of seven suns and immediate treatment needed. More niggas burn on war started 1792. Won't act like I'm any better, you or me, I am you. We all hate, we all love, as below, so above. We got poison everywhere, so what's a war on a drug? We at war with ourselves, type of war with no guns. So if you had to meet yourself, would you go do it or run? Cause I could be MLK, I could be Juicy J, or a lame on Instagram that shows the world is AK. 47's the way, you can follow us straight. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you better run in some type of direction. Cause the people going nowhere are the ones that are flexing. I'm not trying to be a preacher, I was never a reverend, but I can take your ass to church and show you glimpses of heaven. You better run in some type of direction. Cause the people going nowhere are the ones that are flexing. I'm not trying to be a preacher, I was never a reverend, but I can take your ass to church and show you glimpses of heaven. You better
back row and chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Didn't quite do that as smoothly
back in the game
as I wanted to. Damn it! I tried to like DJ mix those over, but it didn't work. Oh well, we're trying things out. It's fine. No pressure.
That's
or anything.
That's a good one, actually. What would your DJ name be? DJ James.
DJ James. No, that's too many. Isn't it? Apparently, you got to do it. It's MC and the last thing that you ate.
Ooh.
So what would that be?
MC Bolognese.
Really?
Yeah. The last thing you ate? That's fire.
Mine would be MC peanut butter ice cream.
Peanut butter ice cream. Where'd you stop off one of those numbers?
On the train.
Oh, I say I'm eating my Tupperware. I didn't realise there's sort of a no eating rule on the underground.
Oh really?
Yeah, apparently.
So, but where's that? There's also.
I don't know who enforces it, but I've heard that Boris brought it in back in the day. Oh. So you're not actually supposed to eat on the underground. But I was there with my Tupperware and my bolognese, spilling it all over the place.
Mate, that's not like food. Line. That's not food for travel, is it?
No, like you struggle enough as it is in a restaurant, let alone on the underground.
That is a funny video. Though.
I didn't have the spoon to do the twirly thing either, so it was just shovel.
Oh, just the.
yeah.
Just going for it.
Yeah, and whoever she was next to me was looking over like. Mm. That's it. You know, then people are just frowning. They're like,
But oh my goodness, I'm having creative ideas. They're hitting me in my brain right now. Because if anyone doesn't know, me and Alex, we make funny videos on Facebook and YouTube and all the other platforms.
But I try. I try.
No, you do as well, mate.
Sometimes
you've had a couple millis, couple millis.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. So yeah, check out Alex Hoban or Johanna James' page if you want to see all the funny shit that we make. But I've just had an idea. You have an idea. Like, what if you're having bolognese on a train and it's all messy and stuff? But then you meet a girl and then you do the whole, you know, sucky slurpy.
That's it.
Thing.
And if any brands are listening that would like that, hit me up.
Yeah, well, is there many bolognese brands? I don't know.
Dolmio.
Dolmio. It's a Dolmio
yeah,
day.
Yeah, exactly. That's right up their street.
Okie dokie. Right, so, oh my gosh, we've really, really like trajectoried off to like, I'm hungry now.
What's on the agenda today?
Damn it. So, let's start off with a little bit of entertainment news, shall we? Because I've done my research and I found out what's going on in the world of film and TV, and there is some fun stuff this week. So, are you ready for the entertainment news on Becca and Chill? Did you like that?
That was amazing.
Okie dokie. Right, first off, you know the Cannes Film Festival?
Yes,
Cannes is in the news this week because it has reversed a recent decision to allow streaming-only movies to compete for the big prize of the Palme d'Or.
Oh, okay.
Palme d'Or. So
those originals.
So basically, yeah, they made a decision recently to say that you don't have to have a theatrical release of a movie to still compete for like best film. So a Netflix original or an independent movie that's put on Amazon or something, yeah. they can compete.
Nice.
And now they've gone back and gone, actually, no, sorry, you're going to need to release it in a cinema for it to count as an actual movie.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, that's interesting. Do you use said platforms?
I do. Well, Netflix and Amazon Prime. Occasionally, my mate's mum has a Now TV account
that
we can occasionally get a bit of Now TV.
Exactly.
So I really think that, I don't know.
I'm the same. I'm more of a Prime user than a Netflix user. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Similarly,
okay.
The films on there at the moment are fire.
Really?
Yeah, they've just released the new James Bond on there. Well, not the new one, whatever the last one was.
The last, with a...
And they've also got all the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Oh, amazing. On there. Oh, yeah. So if you want to go for a Bond sesh...
Do you remember the last time we were here and I actually got the name of that show wrong? The film wrong? Train. Well, it was actually Lion, but it was Train. Yeah. So I did a similar thing with Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
But I said Manchester on the Castle. I don't know why. I don't know. Is there a film that's something on the castle?
I mean, that sounds a bit like Ed Sheeran if he made a movie.
It would probably be
Manchester on the Castle.
That's probably why. But yeah, that was on there as well. Manchester by the Sea.
Yep.
I nearly said it again then. That's a good one. And then obviously you've got all the Netflix originals as well.
Oh, have you, just talking about Amazon Prime while we're on there, have you seen American Gods?
Ooh,
that is the new.
Is that a series?
Amazon series, brand new. I think there's like one or two episodes out now. I got to go to the screening of the first episode with some of the cast, and it was amazing. And it's a very weird show.
Wait. So I was having dinner the other day at home, and my flatmate was watching what only can be described as a woman who was growing in size, as in height and length.
Mm-hmm.
Eating a man.
Not with her mouth. With her other mouth.
Yeah. Is that it? With is her that other the lips. Show?
Yeah, that's American Gods.
No way. Okay, yes, I have seen. Well, I saw that.
You saw that
30
scene.
Seconds. That was some weird.
Yeah, she's like a sex goddess, and she consumes men with her vagina.
Yeah.
I mean, that. Basically, American Gods has seen Game of Thrones and gone, right, sex and violence. Nah, mate, this
Let's
is sex and violence.
Take it to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. But it's really good. It's a really good storyline about a guy who finds out that there are gods of many kinds walking the earth, all in modern day America. You've got the gods of social media. You've got ancient Egyptian gods. You've got all. You literally, Alex just referenced himself when I said god of social media.
No, that didn't happen. okay, there's
One
a camera.
Day,
yes, it did.
One day. Okay, moving on to the entertainment news. So basically, yeah, so go see American Gods or check out American Gods. Go buy Prime. And I think you don't have to pay for the whole year of Prime now.
No,
you can
don't.
Do it as a monthly. Thank you, Amazon, for catching up with the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Cheers.
Other streaming services are available.
Exactly. Do you like The Rock?
I do. What's
Dwayne
up?
Johnson.
Okay, what's Dwayne up to these days?
So, and I mean, I hope this is legitimate. This has been quoted from him. But The Rock is considering running for president.
Okay. Well,
which,
I mean, clearly, as you can see, anyone can do it. So,
well, but you know what? I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, neither do I. He'll get, yeah. He'll
he
get
would
good,
be amazing.
Good
but I think he would be going up against Kanye West. So it would be like The Rock or Kanye West.
Wow, who'd you choose?
Exactly.
That's basic. Right, I mean, Kanye, probably same level, in my opinion, as Donald.
Kanye, emotionally unstable.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
But I've met Dwayne, and in the brief 20 minutes that I did meet the guy, I feel like we bonded, and I felt like I got a good vibe from him, and I was like, yeah.
Is he as big in real life as he is on the shows?
No.
Really?
No.
No way.
No. That was one thing, because I think I was picturing like an absolute giant, and I'm a tall girl. I'm like 5'9". So when I went to meet him, I was like, oh, you're only just shy of 6 foot. Like,
what?
Yeah, he's probably about your height.
No wonder he's so big.
Yeah.
I mean, if I ate that much and I was this height, then I'd be that big as well. I thought he was like 6'8".
No. He's not. He's probably 6'1".
I mean, it takes a lot of dedication and work, I'll be honest with you.
Also, he's always like filming or photographed next to Kevin Hart.
That's true.
And Kevin Hart was smaller than I even thought.
Yeah, that is true. He's very small.
He's very small. In fact, just to make things really awkward, I think I didn't make too good of friends with Kevin Hart, because he was sitting on this, like, we had these really high chairs that we did the interview on. This was last year. And when I met them, both of them, Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. And Kevin was sitting on these chairs, and I went to, and I didn't know what to say. You know, you get that awkward, like, oh, just think of something to say. Think of fucking something to say to her. And I sat on the chair and I was like, oh, I feel so small when I sit on these chairs. Look at our legs swinging. And he just looked at me like, what? And I was just like, yeah.
I've seen a few interviews with you where you've said things that have been
a little bit awkward.
Yeah, taken. Like the one where you went to Five Guys.
Yeah, let's not talk about that one. I got the nickname Five Guys Girl for quite a while.
Americans didn't understand what Five Guys was in terms of the restaurant.
Which is weird.
Thought that Johanna was talking about taking five guys
at the one time.
At the one time.
But I thought that Five Guys, the restaurant, was an American chain. So
yeah, I presume so. Well, it does have all American food. But
mate, so The Rock is considering running for president, as is Kanye West. So I think on the Twitter today, we should do a Twitter poll. Who should run for president? So I think we should do The Rock, Kanye West, and we'll probably stick another random one in there.
Yeah.
And we'll run a poll on our Twitter, at FUBAR Radio. Make sure you go and like let us know what you think.
Rock, Kanye West, and Baby Spice.
Baby Spice.
Yeah, she was my favourite at the time.
She was pretty hot.
I don't know. I wonder what she looks like now, though. I'd be quite intrigued.
I think the same, just a little bit more you know, mummy.
Yeah.
A little bit more mumsy. Mummy baby spice. That's weird.
Yeah. Okay. Mummy spice.
Right, okie dokie. Blah, blah, blah. And the last thing is 13 Reasons Why. Have you jumped on that train?
I haven't yet, no.
Okay, you should. It's very, very good. It's a Netflix series called 13 Reasons Why, all about a young girl in high school who commits suicide, and she leaves a box of cassette tapes for the 13 people who are responsible for her.
Jesus, that sounds heavy.
Taking her life. Yeah, it is quite, but it's a really, really good series. And Selena Gomez was behind it with her mum.
Okay.
And they've revealed there is going to be a second season, but I don't know what about, because it did kind of wrap up in a nice story.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're really going to continue that, apart from if they maybe, you know, how
it happens again or something like that.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, something. I have a feeling they're probably going to go. They're going to continue it and probably go down the route of maybe like high school shootings or something.
Well, yeah, very relevant, you know, culturally. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I saw the OA, which had things like that as well, which was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was good. So yeah. That's where we're up to in entertainment news. So do you have like a closing thing? Like, no, wait, what was that? Oh, countdown.
Oh, that Well, we've got more entertainment news coming up next, but we've got some guests arriving on the show. Because, my goodness, look at the time. It's moving on. So we've got our first guest who's going to be on the phone momentarily. So let's just check he's here. And then I hate technology when technology doesn't let me down. So we're going to go see if our first guest, Edward Blummel.
Blumel. Eddie.
We're going to see if he's there in one moment.
Okay,
hold the phone.
Tuesday.
FUBAR Radio presents
Payne & Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
Sean Walsh
in the house right now.
Would you like to help us impart some knowledge?
From Martin. My girlfriend is eager to try water sports. She basically wants to piss on me in bed. How do I get over the fear of piss?
You don't, mate.
Convince her to wee on you in the shower.
Then, when she's asleep, shit on her head.
Don't
Sorry.
Do that.
Yeah. Not even on their legs.
Not even on their like, pillow.
On their head.
On their head, man.
Big steaming one. After a pizza. A jalapeno deep crust.
American hot cheesy crust.
She's just gone.
Every Wednesday.
Payne & Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Boom. Oh, I like that sexy new voice on the end of that one. That was amazing. Right, we should have Edward on the line. So let's see if we can. Edward, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, amazing. I love it when it works. Brilliant. Welcome on the show. Thank you for being our first guest.
Yeah. How are you doing?
We're doing brilliantly. It's a beautiful day. Isn't it lovely? Well, are you in London? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in London. I'm in the theatre at the moment, so not quite enjoying the sun like I'd like to be, but you know.
Okay.
Hey, you win some, you lose some.
For sure. And you're here to talk to us about the play Love in Idleness.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, so just let us know a little bit about that. What's going on? What's going down?
So basically, it's at the Apollo Theatre on Shaftesbury Avenue, and it is a play by a guy called Terence Rattigan, who was writing in sort of the 40s, and he wrote this play in about 1944, and it's about World War II coming to an end and sort of political and family divisions around the time. It's quite hard, if I'm honest, to sum it up very quickly, but it's there's a lot going on in it, and it's based around a mother and her son returning from being an evacuee, and while he's been gone, she has found a new lover who is a Tory cabinet minister.
Ooh.
And all sorts of sort of hilarity ensues because of that. So yeah, it's a big subject, and it's very political and very relevant to today.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you could almost just slice it into today.
Completely.
And
yeah, completely. It's you know, he the character who I play a guy called Michael, who is the son. He returns home, and while he's been gone, he's got a lot of pretty strong socialist ideas. He's like a young Corbyn-esque character.
Nice.
And he comes home to find not only has his after his father died, has his mum moved on rather quickly, but also to a man very politically different to his views, and you know, they have a terrible time, the three of them all together. But it's good fun.
And when are you opening? You're opening.
So we had our first preview last night, and we're previewing for a bit. But then opening night is on the 18th of May, on Thursday.
Oh, amazing! It's all going to kick off.
Yeah.
Imminently. And have you done a lot of London stage before?
No, not at all. This is the first time I've been on the West End, but before this it was the same play. It transferred from the Chocolate Factory, which is a lovely little theatre in sort of London Bridge area, and it transferred. But other than that, this play is the first time I've been on the London stage. So it's a lot of fun. It's a bit of a baptism of fire, but
yeah,
it's thrilling.
I mean,
definitely.
In terms of nervousness, is that going to be stepping up a level as you walk out onto that stage?
I mean, last night when we walked out, the Chocolate Factory where it was is such a tiny audience, and it's really intimate sort of place to perform. And then but because the set and the play is the same, I wasn't really expecting it last night when now we're in the Apollo, which is, you know, massive sort of 700-seater. And there was a little bit when I walked out of sort of, I fluffed my first line because I looked out and was like, oh, that's so many people.
I can't imagine what that must be like, the pressure.
Yeah, it was terrifying, but, you know, it's all the thrill of live theatre.
Exactly, no, amazing.
That's a really good attitude to have, I think, yeah. So what if you fluff it? They don't know the script, do they? So.
Well, I mean, things, little things go wrong here and there from night to night, but when you're doing the same show every night, they're the bits that you start to relish and really enjoy, as people panicking slightly and having to sort of go against what you've been doing the same night for the last, you know, however many performances.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, do you have any tips for someone like myself or any aspiring actors? Because I fluff normal life, let alone like when I'm trying to act or be normal. I fluff getting on the tube, getting off the tube, all sorts.
I feel like most actors probably fluff stuff on stage far less than in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
But my only advice is use the nerves. And I'm always, whenever I'm on stage, is whenever I'm feeling nervous, I think that's a good thing. And the best performances always come from the most high pressure and nervous situations, definitely.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Exciting. And it's a limited season, strictly, to just 50 performances. So,
yes, indeed, yeah.
Oh, so if anyone wants to go and check out Love in Idleness, you better get over to the Apollo Theatre website, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, it's on, well, there's loads of places that, like, sell the tickets. I don't actually know, all through, like, different sort of third parties, but, yeah, you just have to Google it, and it's all there.
I mean, so 50 quick performances, can I just ask, is that in a row?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, obviously, we get, like, 1 or 2 days off, depending on the week, a week, but, yeah, it's pretty constant
in terms of,
but then
yeah.
you know I sort of it, that's all, and I'm sort of moaning about that, being like, oh gosh, 50 performances in a row. And then I've got mates that are in stuff for like a year, and I go,
jeez,
okay, cool,
yeah you're like, that's
fine.
That's fine. In terms of sort of mental preparation and physical preparation for 50 nights on the trot, is it, I presume it's one performance a day, or is it two performances?
So we have a matinee 2 or 3 times a week, depending. Wow. So sometimes there's two shows a day for 2 or 3 days a week. So it's quite full on, and it is the only sort of physical thing that has to be stretched is your voice, because
voice
will get absolutely destroyed if you're not careful.
Oh. Is there anything, do you have hot toddies on set or whatever?
Oh yeah, well, every actor has their own little, you know, little routine. I do a very, very silly warm-up as far away from everyone as I can find, so they can't hear me doing ridiculous stuff. And other people have their own warm-ups and their own sort of various sort of throat things that they do, and everyone has their own method.
I always found it ridiculous. I was learning all the different warm-up variations in drama school, and I just found it so unfair that I could work on my voice for hours, but then there would be some old legend actor who smokes 20 a day and he would just be so on point
I'd
be like, well,
you get that loads. I look back, so say I always, people after the shows are always like, oh, do you want to go out drinking? And I'm always like, oh yeah, but because it affects my voice a lot if I drink.
Yeah.
But then you hear about people like Richard Harris and stuff like that would have like 3 pints at an interval during the play, and then jeez, come back and then or be smashed the whole time. And it's I mean, I don't, maybe that's because they were older actors and they get used to it. Their body adapts.
Yeah.
Mine certainly hasn't yet.
I mean, has it always been, even at the Chocolate Theatre, were you mic'd up from the beginning, or is
no mics at all.
Really? Still for now as well?
No mic here either.
Jeez.
So it's, you are trying to fill a big space. But the way the theatre's designed, it makes it easier acoustically than it should be, which is really nice.
Enunciate, young man. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. And go and do your funny. I'm just like envisioning you backstage now doing all sorts of like splits and squats and warm-ups
and everything. Don't you worry, I'll be doing that later.
Oh, amazing. Well, all the best of luck for tonight. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for spending time with us.
And just
worries at all. Cheers, guys.
To recap, it's Love in Idleness at the Apollo Theatre in London. Go and check it out. Thank you, Edward.
Yeah, bye, thank Edward. You very much. You. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Right, bye.
Oh, amazing. Would you ever do a theatre play?
I would try. I would certainly like to give it a go. Yeah, I mean, I've never had stage fright, but I do forget lines a lot. I mean, in my job, I present a lot and I forget certain bits. Yeah. So I'd have to improvise and work on that for sure.
For sure, yeah. But that's, you know, that's part of it. I get bad live stage fright.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is weird because I want to be on stage so much, but it's like a weird thing of... And when I'm actually jumped off of them doing it, it's fine. But before, I talk myself out of it before.
Jeez.
I'm standing in the wings like, what are you doing?
You know. Are you doing any theatre stuff this year, or is it strictly
No, I did one recently. I had to fill in. My friend wrote this fantastic like piece of live theatre and someone dropped out, and so 2 days before she was like, could you like be in it? And I was like, I'll give it a go. Haven't been on theatre in about a year, so I had one rehearsal and like 2 days to learn sort of the line, the routines and everything. It was a short performance play, and we did it in Bethnal Green like three Fridays ago.
How did you find it?
And again, once I was in it and once we started the piece, it was amazing. It was called Blue Peter, and it was set in the future in like sort of totalitarian Russia, and it was, well, Blue Petra really.
Jeez.
And it was about like if they had like a happy clappy Blue Peter style thing, but it was really fucked up because there was like Russian guards watching us the whole time, and if we didn't keep the energy up, they would like take us behind a screen and beat us up. And we were teaching kids how to like decorate their gas masks, and
that's mad.
There was a gas attack on the Blue Peter studio in the play, and I died.
Jeez, but okay, we're getting deep now. But
yeah,
I thought you were going to say it was called Blue Peter. It was set in 2001, and it was on BBC One.
No, it was a brilliant, really good.
No badges for you. You guys,
written by a good friend, Daisy Smith. I'm gonna shout her out. I have done theatre, but I did the same thing happen right before. I was going, what are you doing? I'm not an actor. I'll just go. I'll leave. Sorry, guys. Sorry for that. I'll just leave. What am I doing? I'm going to forget my lines. I'm going to fuck it up. I'm going to ruin it. And then you do it and you're like, that was so fun. And one of the other actors said to me, was like, you know what? If you don't terrify yourself every now and then, if you don't do something that absolutely scares the shit out of you, like that is what life is.
Yeah,
if you just keep in the mundane and the safe and the routine, that's not living. He was like, terrify yourself once in a while. And I was like,
that's some good advice.
Well, that was good. You know,
that is some great advice.
Did a lot of nervous poo.
So tweet us with what you're going to terrify yourself with next.
Yeah. Maybe we have to get some ideas. Get something on like a bucket list that we should do. Maybe challenge us.
Yeah. I want to wrestle an alligator in my lifetime.
Really?
Yeah. Well, okay.
Maybe like a blow up one.
Oh, come on. Give me some more credit. Like, I'll do one of those little ones that you find in the pet stores.
Don't bring up mini pets.
What are they even called? I can't remember what they're called.
Mini alligators. So tweet us at Foobar Radio or email in chill@foobarradio.com and let us know what terrifies you, and or maybe challenge us to do something, and we might do it on a Facebook Live. You never know. Okie dokie. So have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
I haven't. I funny story, actually. I went into the cinema to watch it with my girlfriend, and they were like, you can watch it, but you've got to sit separately. And that's happened to us twice now.
What?
So it's just always sold out in the Ritzy in Brixton. So I'm hoping to get a seat in there.
Definitely go. I'm really... Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was amazing. I watched it with my boyfriend. And we were laughing our heads off like the whole way through. And I'm loving the soundtrack because the soundtrack of the first one was just amazing. And this one is not as good, but nearly.
Okay.
But they have specifically made a song called Guardians Inferno. And it's got David Hasselhoff. I thought I'd play it for you guys this week because I've been playing this on a loop on my commute because it's the best thing. It's really up. We're going to start like lifting the spirits up now because it's nearly the weekend, guys. Let's go, David. David Hasselhoff, Guardians Inferno on Back Row and Chill.
Thank you. musical skills, but he's good with motor. That weird thing by his side, an infantilized sequoia. The two of them walk by, people say, oh boy. They ask me why I'm bringing a baby into battle. That's really irresponsible and getting them rattled. I said, give me a break. Get off of my back, dammit. I didn't learn parenting. My daddy was a planet. Shout out to
James on FUBAR Radio.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse. All my friends are heathens, take it slow. For them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse.
Welcome to the room of people who have rooms of people that they love one day docked away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You love another psychopath sitting next to you. You love another murderer sitting next to you. You think I'd get this sitting next to you. But after all I've said, please don't forget.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse.
We don't deal with outsiders very well. They say newcomers have a certain smell. Yeah, trust issues not to mention. They say they can smell your intentions. You love another freak show sitting next to you. You love some weird people sitting next to you. You think I did not get here sitting next to you. But after all I've said, please don't forget.
Slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the just to stay away. And now they're outside ready to bust. It looks like you might be one of us.
Boom. That was Heathens by 21 Pilots, which was from the film...
Oh, Train?
I just told you! Oh.
No, Suicide Squad.
And before that, Guardians Inferno from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm going to be playing more of Guardians of the Galaxy later in the show. But we've got our next guest, so a huge welcome to the studio. Oh, just one applause.
There we go.
A bit better.
Welcome.
And you are here, both of you, to talk about the play Becoming Mohammed. So if you'd like to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hi, my name is Anamik and I'm the director of the play.
Amazing. Hello.
And I'm Claudia and I wrote the play.
Wow. Oh, welcome. Wow.
Love it.
Welcome. Thanks
Women
for coming down.
Women in theatre. Loving it. So, Becoming Mohammed, it's going to be on at the Pleasance Theatre in London. Well, it's on now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, amazing. But it's going to be continuing till the 21st of May. So just let us know a little bit what it's about, because it's an interesting title, Becoming Mohammed.
Well, the idea came from a personal experience, actually. My brother converted to Islam in 2007. That's a long time ago.
That's like 10 years ago.
No, that's not true.
I think it was 2013.
Okay. I get all mixed up with dates. Don't know why.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, my brother converted to Islam, and I've been studying and working in theatre for quite a while, and I just realised there's a show in this. I've been trying out a couple of things, but I worked with Claudia a couple of times before, and because the story was so close and personal, I asked her to write it for me.
Amazing.
So is it a drama, or is it a comedy, or is it a bit of both? A dramedy?
I think it's a dramedy. I think there's definitely a lot of drama in there, but because the subject matter can be, you know, so heavy and so so serious, I tried when I was writing, and then Anamik, when she was directing it, to kind of make it more lighthearted. So there's a few jokes here and there, and our actors are really great at really lifting it up. So a bit of both.
Awesome. I mean, how, if we take it to a more general level, how do you, when you've written something and you've worked so hard on it, how do you then align actors to that? Do you just cast until you find the right one? Or is it like, do you have someone in mind when you're writing? Like, how does that work from your angle?
It was a mixture of both. We're working with an actress called Philippa Carson. She's great. And we've worked with her on several shows. So we knew she was going to be in it.
Awesome.
And we found our other actress, Nadia, through previous auditions for the show. But especially I've never been happy or super satisfied with the male part. So we had auditions for that quite a couple of times.
Awesome. And who plays that role now?
So Thomas, the brother, is played by Jack Hammond, and there's the brother of Amina, which is his girlfriend, and that's played by Jonah Fazel.
Okay, awesome. That's amazing. I mean, the subject matter is so relevant, I think, to the modern day, and it's not something you hear of often, but it happens often, and it's great to bring that into the public eye in the form of theatre, which is how things were portrayed for many years.
And it's a little bit of a touchy subject, because a lot of people, I think, would jump to assume, oh, if you're converting to Islam, people might assume, oh, they're becoming terrorists, like, what's the, and they make that like awful jump, and it's actually completely fine. It's like, as if someone was becoming Buddhist, you wouldn't be that concerned. If someone said, oh, I'm actually started going to church now, I'm Christian, you'd be like, cool, do your thing. So, oh, I'm converting to Islam, they'd be like, whoa, why, what's going on, are you okay?
How do you work around the stereotypes and people's interpretations of religion within the concept?
Well, that was our idea to start with. It was to present a story about conversion that wasn't about terrorism and wasn't about going to Syria and, you know, joining ISIS, and also because that's the real story. There's a story that doesn't have those extremes, and those are the only stories that make it to the media.
They're not putting everyone who just becomes happy.
Exactly, it's not exciting.
Following Islam.
it's not exciting. And so I guess in a way the kind of the subversion of expectations is just in not having that. And even though there are tensions within the family, they don't have to do with that kind of choices.
And Anamik, when it says that you knocked on your, well, I mean, what you wrote was that you knocked on your brother's door after 2 years. Is that actually how it happened? You knocked on his door after 2 years and you just didn't recognise what was
in front of
you?
No, not really.
Or is it
no,
taken?
It, It's really inspired by my story. So we try to grab those feelings and ideas and put it in a different story, because obviously this happened over a couple of years and now it had to be an hour and a half play. So there is some verbatim in it. There are some real events, but most of it is dramatized. I saw my brother a lot more, but it was quite a surprise when I found out, and it already happened quite a while ago.
So
that's how we try to capture that initial shock.
Sure.
And is your brother, is he still part of the faith? He's still practicing? And
yeah, definitely. He's happily married, still lives in Rotterdam, and he came to see the show about a week ago now.
Oh, so he's seen it. That must have been weird for him.
Yeah, how did he feel? What was his feedback? Was it a bit daunting for you initially? Were you nervous?
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, and both my parents seen it as well. My parents got really emotional. My brother really liked it, and I think he really enjoyed being part of the spotlight. We did a post-show talk, which he did very well. I think he really enjoyed it, and a lot of people have said we've had some Muslims coming to visit the show, and everyone's just really happy how there's not a moment where the terrorist comes on stage.
Exactly. It must be presented very well. And am I right in thinking that you do post-show talks regularly, or?
Yes, we do them every Friday. So we have one this evening.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
We have one with a female revert and with a PhD student from SOAS who specialises in Islamic conversion.
Okay, amazing. So it's also an educational piece to it as well in the post-show talks, and dig into those issues. Amazing.
I personally this year have learned a lot about Islam because my boyfriend's family are Muslim, so I've like meeting the family and getting to like know and like live with them. I've learned a huge amount because I didn't not know stuff. It was one of those things where it wasn't that I wasn't interested, it just wasn't in my like my world,
in your
really.
Bubble.
Yeah, it wasn't in my bubble. Now I've like opened my bubble up, and it's been really, really positive. And the anger that they have against people like terrorism or the media who twist and who don't show the whole thing, and they're so angry and they're like, oh, we've got no voice to say this is not our religion, this is not what we believe, everything is absolutely it's like the polar opposite. We believe in you shouldn't harm anyone and you should give to charity and all these like positive things. Like, you know, when the recent terrorist attack on Westminster, and it didn't really get into the news that, like, immediately, like, something like £6,000 was raised
in
the mosques, just immediately to help anyone who'd been affected or was hurt or things like that.
That's what's so nice about something like this is that you can really express it in an art form, and without any stereotypes, without any pressures, you can just express yourself on stage and bring your story to life, which was obviously very inspiring.
Really cool. Yeah, absolutely.
And will be inspiring for a lot of people as well. So where is it again?
So the Pleasance Theatre in North Road in London, and the next stage as well, I think, because I was talking to a friend who I went to drama school with, an actor called Waj Ali, and he is Kurdish, and we had a joke in drama school, oh, you're going to play a terrorist, mate, you're going to play a terrorist. And that's what he ended up to go and do. And he ended up recently being like the main guy on the BBC. And he played the main kind of baddie on that, which was very weird to watch because he's not a baddie at all. He's an absolute sweetheart. He grew this huge beard. He didn't even look like my friend. But we were sort of saying, right, the next stage, I think, is that if the media won't allow these good stories to come through, then the next thing is for characters in movies and TV shows, and to give people from Middle Eastern ethnicities, give them really positive characters, not just the baddies, like flip it all on its head a little bit. So I'm absolutely waiting for the film world and Hollywood to kind of catch up on that.
Yeah,
that's my like kind of wish for Hollywood over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And so this is the way, this is fantastic.
And in your post-show talks, have you found any sort of really inspiring stories of people who have converted, and people have come to you and been like, this is actually amazing that I can now talk about this and be open about my faith and my conversion? Have you experienced that in sort of person-to-person post talks?
The woman who is on tonight, Miriam, we met her before, and she's a British born woman. She was born in Cyprus, I think, and she reverted or converted quite a while ago. We met her a few weeks ago, and she has a really inspiring story about the faith helped her. and how it's been a completely positive change in her life. And she's going to be on tonight, as well as Annemiek mentioned, this PhD student who studies specifically conversion in the West to Islam. And even meeting her and through her having access to the lectures at SOAS, who are attended by both Muslim students and non-Muslim students who are interested in the subject, everyone has been quite responsive and it's been quite excited, I think.
So when people come to watch the show, do they automatically come to see the post-talks, or is that...
Well, we have a little 5 minute break after the show, just like a little loo break. But do hope people stay and come and watch the post show talk. And so far, we've done a couple of workshops after the show as well. Just having a little chat with our, we have a cultural facilitator called the Bia Islam. So for most people, that's the first experience of having questions asked by a girl in a hijab, which is really funny to see. But we feel like a lot of people want to stay and ask questions because you're confronted with things that you might have not known. And yeah, there's been so many positive stories from both people with faith or without faith. It's just a family drama, really. It's about family more than anything, so everyone can relate to it.
Yeah, that's good. As long as it's relatable, then people are going to engage with it, and they're going to come down and check it out. That's really cool.
And just sort of in the future, I know at the moment you're like absolutely in the thick of this, but have you got any other projects or anything in the pipeline that you want to finish this year or head on to next year?
We had a couple of ideas. We're just going to choose on which one to focus first.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We have our company together. So
nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And you're both so young, which is brilliant.
I think we look younger than we are. But thank you.
But no, you look really young. So I was like, oh, the writer and the director are coming in. And I was like, these girls? Cool. This is cool.
Is there going to be any more iterations of this? Or are you looking to finish it here? I know you might not know the answer to that now and see how it goes. But
well, we're really hoping at least to transfer to some place, but our dream is to sort of tour it around and also hit those regional theatres where I think we can engage a lot more people. Because
we had some interest in Cape Town, didn't we?
Yeah, we had interest from Cape Town, and because I'm from the Netherlands and Claudia's from Italy, we've had requests from there for translation and stuff, so we really hope it's going to work out.
Would you ever consider making it into a film?
Sure. People have said that,
Yeah.
Because I think that would be really... Because I love theatre, but it is so time-contained, because it's only if you can get to it at that certain point, whereas if you make a film, it can be forever and ever and the next generation and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be cool to maybe, think about whether that could translate into a film. I think it sounds like it could, for sure. Super exciting.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
it's been
you.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So that's
Thanks
Becoming Muhammad at the Pleasance Theatre in North London.
Soon to be global.
Soon to be global movie. Come on, Hollywood. Any Hollywood producers out there?
Yeah.
Come on. Ding! Ideas. Right, brilliant. Okay, so every week I play songs that are related to movies or anything, whatever. What? And this one is a little bit long. It's more of a story than a song.
What is it?
It's from an animation. You know when you go and see Disney animations, they show a little animation.
Sure.
Yeah, which absolutely, I always sometimes like that better than the film. So this one's called Lava. Have you seen it?
No.
And it's about this island. I mean, it's this island that's really alone in the middle of the ocean, and he's singing about he wants to like someone to love, and then this other little island comes along. I won't ruin it, just listen. So this is going to be a bit of an odd song, but it's the middle of background chill. I'm going to come back for more entertainment news, more guests, film reviews, and our Facebook Live. This is Back Row and Chill.
Let's go.
A long, long time ago, there was a volcano living all alone in the middle of the sea. He sat high above his bed, watching all the couples play and wishing that he had someone too. And from his lover came this song of hope that he sang out loud every day for years and years. I have a dream I hope will come true. you're here with me, and I'm here with you. I wish that the earth, sea, the sky up above will send me someone to love. Years of singing all alone turned his lava into stone, until he was on the brink of extinction. But little did he know that living in the sea below, another volcano was listening to his song. Every day she heard his tune, her lava grew and grew, because she believed his song was meant for her. Now she was so ready to meet him above the sea as he sang his song of hope for the last time. I have a dream I hope will come true, that you're here with me and I'm here with you. I wish that the earth, sea, and the sky up above will send me someone to love. Rising from the sea below stood a lovely volcano, looking all around, but she could not see him. He tried to sing to let her know that she was not there alone, but with no lava, his song was all gone. He filled the sea with his tears and watched his dreams disappear as she remembered what his song meant to her.
I have a dream I hope will come true, that you're here with me and I'm here with you. I wish that the earth, sea, and the sky up above will send me someone to love.
Oh, they were so happy to finally meet above the sea. All together now their lava grew and grew. No longer are they all alone, with aloha as their new home. And when we visit them, this is what they sing.
I have a dream I hope will come true, that you'll grow old with me
and I'll grow old with you. We thank the earth, sea, the sky, we thank too. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We actually performed that.
I know.
In secret. That was me and Alex Hoban.
Shaking my booty.
Yeah, in doing that, Alex decided to hula hoop around the studio.
It was good. Well,
it was good. So, yeah. It's on my Snapchat.
Yeah, follow Johanna on Snapchat and you'll see me attempting my hula hoops.
on the Hula Hoops. Right, a little bit more entertainment news, because there is just so much going on in the world. I think we should have a little chat because what's happened this week? The big there's not that many films coming out at the Mo. I think everyone was just basically too scared to go up against Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot out.
So what are we dealing with at the moment? Obviously, but we've got Guardians.
We've got Guardians, but this week we had the Guy Ritchie movie, which the name of it has just gone out of my head.
Oh, okay. I don't know either.
And it's got Charlie Hunnam, David Beckham.
Oh, okay.
King Arthur, there we go. There we are. There's so many there. I was like, what is it? So he's got a sword. He's got a long sword.
As soon as you said
anyway.
Beck, so I was like, I know which one.
I know. So apparently Charlie Hunnam has addressed whether or not he's going to be the next James Bond.
Okay. Interesting. What was his thoughts?
Because he was stopped by Conan.
The Barbarian?
Not the Barbarian. Oh, okay. The talk show host.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
of course.
That guy. And he said three things to say about it. He goes, I can say two things. I'm English. I look devilishly handsome in a suit. And number three is nobody's called me about playing James Bond, so I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen.
Oh. That's annoying. I mean, the first two, let's be honest, most of us are that. English, and everyone looks good in a suit.
People do look devilishly handsome in a suit. Even I do. I mean, put on a tux and I'm like, dapper.
I can imagine.
Damn.
I work in Moorgate, so you just see suits all the time, and it becomes a bit generic. But as soon as I put one on, I'm like, ooh.
Well, I could be Bond.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I've always had that dream, but I think that's a bit past me now.
No, you're Bond, like the original Bonds, they're all like in their 40s.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I'm 40, I'll probably still look like this.
With a snapback and some trainers.
Well, yeah, but I'm also on 3 months of facial hair growth at the moment.
Oh, so am I.
3 months, yeah. And as you can see,
doing well.
Nothing's happened. I mean, I've been trying to grow Movember since 3 Novembers ago. still not happening.
Well, it's all right. Your hair will come in.
Has anyone got any tips
on how to grow
Tweet
hair?
Tweet me.
I'm trying to I have to help my boyfriend de-hair.
Jeez.
He's one of the hairiest people I've ever met.
But he works it, that's the thing. I feel like if I had hair, I mean my hair and my head's going anyway, which is why I'm wearing a hat. but if I had hair in my face, I just wouldn't suit me. I'm all about that baby face, so.
You are, you're a baby face boy, so that's fine.
But, that's it.
I mean, wow, Charlie Hunnam, I mean, that's humble to say I look devilishly handsome in a suit. That is really.
Modest.
That's very modest of you, Charlie. Okie dokie. And also, there's been a bit of a chit chat about whether or not David Beckham should have acted in a movie, because he's a footballer turned. Yeah. Celebrity icon, okay. Now turned actor, and Guy Ritchie has defended him, saying he's a fabulous actor, but everyone else who's seen the film has slated him. Now, I haven't seen the film, but I know Lucy Patterson, our resident film reviewer, has seen the film, so she's coming in about 20 minutes, and she's going to let us know her opinion.
Okay.
And I trust
Lucy.
Okay,
so she'll run us through it.
Yeah,
but I mean, Bex must have improved, because I actually rewatched the other day when him and Victoria were on the Ali G show.
Oh, that was good though.
That was very good, but he wasn't very good at acting.
But he wasn't an actor,
no.
Yeah.
But he was just, you could tell he was like very embarrassed and nervous.
For sure, for sure. But I mean, he's like, he's not even, I don't know. David, really? David Beckham? Yeah. Why?
Bring back Ali G though.
Why would,
Jesus,
yeah,
that guy.
Ali G in a film.
He did Trump Interview as well, which is hilarious. Back in the day. When,
did he?
Yeah, you've got to check it out.
I didn't even see that. Where is the internet? Show me the internet now.
100%.
Wow, Ali G interviewing Trump.
The Buzz Aldrin one, when he was like, so Buzz, what was it like to walk on the sun?
As in the moon.
That just got me.
That is amazing. Yeah, Ali G was actually, he gave me a lot of inspiration when I'm interviewing sort of celebrities.
Okay,
and stuff.
Yeah.
He gives me, you know, a bit of some ideas to have the balls to just do something wacky or weird or rude.
Exactly, yeah. How does that go down most of the time?
Sometimes it backfires, and sometimes they don't get it.
Don't clock on.
And sometimes they can be really generous and they can help you with being really funny. Hugh Jackman was one of the most generous people.
Really? In terms of comedy?
He could tell that I was trying to do a silly interview and he just played with me and
awesome.
It was fine. Other people, maybe I won't drop names, but they didn't play ball.
Really? Jeez.
And I just looked like a twat, so. Thanks for yeah. that celebrity.
Thanks.
You know
no
who
name.
You are.
Yeah.
You know who you are, no name.
They're definitely listening as well.
Yeah, for
bastards.
Sure. For sure. Okay, so I really want to see this film, King Arthur, because I do like Guy Ritchie's movies, and
yeah,
I'm going to like pretend that. Well, you know, David Beckham's in it, but I have seen a photo of him in like from the press release, and they've like prosthetic'd his face, so it doesn't look quite like David Beckham. I think he's got sort of a scar and a fake nose.
Okay.
So then again, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't look like David Beckham.
Well, maybe he's just trying to like go into other things now. He didn't become a football coach. Well, he didn't need to, no. I guess. And I think maybe he's got that midlife crisis now.
I know. He literally hasn't got any more skin left to tattoo. Like,
yeah.
You know.
He might just be like, look, midlife crisis, let me get a prosthetic nose on. Give me a scar and see what goes down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Maybe he gets a scar in the film. You
never
know.
Do you know what? Ladies listening out there, are you a fan of the Beckham? Because I honestly do not fancy the guy.
Really?
He doesn't float my boat.
I do.
No, I don't. He's not one of my faves. And my boyfriend does not believe me. He thinks that I'm lying out of my arse. And I'm like,
yeah.
honestly, I do not fancy David Beckham.
So I think it's a men's... When you're young, when my generation was young, my generation, 24. When I was growing up, it was like, oh, David Beckham was this amazing, incredible footballer, and really good looking, and he was dating a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
So we were like, he's got something.
The man.
So it's also like for someone like Jube or your boyfriend, he must just be like, look, come on, don't lie to me.
No,
was the like number one footballer in the world at one point. He had Victoria Beckham, who, let's be honest, was better than Sporty Spice. And also, he's like a millionaire with his kids who are now Instagram famous, obviously, because of their dad. But he's just so good. He's a great guy.
But saying none of those things appeal to me. I don't like football, so I would never want to date a footballer or anything to do with football. Money doesn't appeal to me. And, I mean, yeah, okay, he's got some abs, but have you heard the guy talk?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Vicky?
It's a boner killer. Vicky Bex. Well, apparently they're not even a couple.
Really?
Sorry to shatter the dreams,
word
but the Beckham
street.
Empire is
heard
a
it
business.
First.
It's a business.
Okay.
I've heard some insider knowledge.
I mean, it's hard. It'd be hard not to, like, you know, when you get into bed. Unless you're sleeping in other rooms, it's like...
Oh, be hard not to with Victoria Beckham.
Like, we've both got needs.
She's beautiful. But, apparently it's more of a business empire than a relationship.
Well.
Which is a bit sad. A lot of couples are actually not real couples on the internet or in FAMO scenarios.
Yeah, we are.
But we are.
As in, we're not a couple.
We're not a couple, but we each have others.
Yeah, but we're a couple.
Alex. We're not together.
Like, hang on.
When I invited you on the show, I did not mean...
I thought that was the green light.
No. No, we both have other arse who do things online with us.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that sounds a bit wrong.
Comedy things.
Right, moving on. So, Twin Peaks. The first actual scenes from the new Twin Peaks has been launched. Are you excited about Twin Peaks? Did you miss the boat last time?
Twin Peaks. I'm trying to look through my notes. Nope, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, Twin Peaks. It used to be this like kind of cult series in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they've brought it back after like 20 years, 25 years, and they've refilmed it. Not refilmed it. I think it's obviously a sequel series. But there is like such a cult following behind it, and now with the internet as well, it's like, well, so I think you can watch it on Netflix or definitely somewhere online, because I watched it online. However, it was a little bit creepy. It's about a girl who gets murdered. Things about like death and murder and stuff, but a girl gets murdered, and it's like the police people trying to find in this little town.
Okay,
there is some mysterious things. They find video footage and things like that. It's really good, but there are freaky things happen up in Twin Peaks, and it's not one of those things. It's not like it's not horror slasher or really jumpy thriller, but there are some things that I don't want to watch it on my own, basically.
Okay, sure.
And I was single for too long to watch it on my own, so I need to maybe like
rope in
the boy or someone and say, or does anyone want to come around my house? This is just a shout out, and watch Twin Peaks with me. Let
me
know.
That's a dangerous move.
Tweet me at Fubar Radio.
I would watch it, but I've currently got something. Well, my schedule's full until the new Game of Thrones.
Your dancing card's full.
I'm rewatching the whole of Game of Thrones
from the beginning.
Yeah, and I'm currently behind schedule by approximately 3 seasons. So I'm going to have to keep going until...
Okay.
When is it? June or July, I think it comes out.
It's late, isn't it? It's really late. Do you know that they're writing 4 Game of Thrones spin-offs?
Really? Four?
That was some news.
For each character that
we dropped that news last week,
like
but I'll just in case you missed it, I'll reiterate. Can't say that word. They have hired like the top writers. They've got like Jane Goldman, who did like Kick-Ass and Kingsman, and she's they've each been given, I'm assuming they've been given like a strand or a story or a character, and they're going to do four spin-offs potentially. They've also got the writer for Mad Men, the writer for, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's like four proper absolute Game of Thrones, July 16th. Oh, nearly my birthday.
Yeah, and mine, 21st of July is mine.
Oh, 30th.
Oh, closer than you would think.
Just have a party.
Exactly. No, but yeah, so actually the first few seasons of Game of Thrones reminds me of Hunger Games.
For sure.
So many people are dying. They build you up, they make you fall in love with a character, and then slash
his
head. Ned Stark's chopped down, everyone else is chopped down, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But it's July 16th, tune in, make sure you watch all the seasons before, otherwise you won't have a goose what's going on.
Yeah, you'll be like, who are these people in the world of what? I love a Game of Thrones, and I just love the fact that it's like historical, well, fake historical, but...
Yeah.
Like the Seven Kingdoms. If anyone is like, oh, I've never really got into it or whatever.
Exactly.
It's just brilliant. The characters are gorgeous and it's fantastic.
A lot of people are like, oh, I'm not into fiction.
Who's your... It's not like, fiction.
Yeah, it's not. It's real life.
Who is your favourite character or favourite storyline?
Daenerys Targaryen.
Okay. Yeah, she's pretty cool.
You know why.
Mother of Dragons.
She's got dragons, number one, which is awesome.
Yeah.
She's got two great dragons.
She got
and another dragon. But she got three great dragons.
She got some great dragon eggs.
She got some great dragon eggs. She's she's great. No, she's definitely the favourite because I'm hoping that she's going to bring her dragons. She's going to bring her two dragons and the other dragon, and then she's going to come over and conquer Westeros.
She's definitely.
Unless
gonna,
I've got that wrong.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's definitely. She ain't going to die. Basically, we all know this.
Well, she can't. People have tried burning her.
She's mother of dragons. She's the mother of mother freaking dragons.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I think I like her as well. Actually, I like her story. I like the fact that she started off so like innocent and princessy, and now she's like queen. Love
it. One night with Khal Drogo.
Oh my god, I think he's got to be my favourite character.
Yeah, suddenly you're a dragon.
See,
queen.
People, you know, David Beckham. Khal Drogo.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Jeez, that's because he's hairy.
I think I've got a type. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see the comparison.
Yeah. For sure. Big hairy bearded guy. Done. Okie dokie. So Downton Abbey star Hugh Bonneville is going to play Roald Dahl. They're going to do a Roald Dahl biopic about the best-selling children's author. So, I mean, they've done lots of Roald Dahl movies, like The BFG, Matilda. Like, Roald Dahl was actually probably one of my favourite children's author. What a legend. Like, I used to love the Twits. Did you ever read the Twits?
Yeah, I did. I think I did. I haven't read much in my life, as you can probably tell, audience. But I think the Twits was one of them.
I just love Roald Dahl stuff, but I don't actually know anything about the actual Roald Dahl. And apparently, you don't even... We've been saying his name wrong for like...
What is it?
50 years.
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. We say Roald Dahl, but apparently the Roald Dahl's granddaughter said, by the way, everyone's saying it wrong, it's actually Roald Dahl or something, I don't know.
I love those words where people always get it wrong. Well, like, you know those videos where you see people actually pronouncing things how they look?
Yeah,
like
I
the
love
Irish
that.
Ones. I actually have a story about calling someone Siobhan.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, well, no, it was just in a client meeting. I went into in my actual day-to-day job and met somebody and was like, lovely to meet you, Siobhan. I'm Alex. And they were like, it's Siobhan. I was like, are you sure? You know, it's one of those things where you're like, are you sure that that is your name?
Yeah, recently I think I saw, maybe was it on Unilad or something? It was
potentially
a guy going through all the Irish names, if you said them how they're written.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it was like.
Yeah, like Siobhan and all the others.
Or
I can't even remember.
Like very normal names, like Ian. It'd be like, Eochagan.
Yeah, it's like spelled like Eochagan.
If anyone has any like weirdly spelt names, then tweet us at Fubar Radio. We will shout you out. We're going to try and pronounce your name on the radio.
Yes, please do.
Or email in chill@fubarradio.com because I have a bit of a name that people can't really pronounce. So it's Johanna, like J-A Hannah, Johanna.
Yeah.
But people read it and they're like, Johanna? Johan? Are you Swedish? Like, it's weird. People are scared to say my name and I can tell. They're like, hi, you're the girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, go on, just say it, Johanna. Even my own family, like my brother can't be bothered. He calls me Jan.
Really?
Which is Jan. It's like literally
broken it down.
It's the most like laziest way you could ever say my name is Jan or Jana.
I've got a name that people struggle to call, like struggle to say. My name's Alex Hoban, but for some reason everyone calls me Joe Tasker.
Yes. Okay. This actually happened yesterday. I went out and filmed with another online comedian called Joe Tasker. But you guys look absolutely the freaking same. You're like twins.
I'd request a DNA test, I think, because this isn't the first
time. You're missing an actual brother.
People, like the bigger pages on Facebook, when they post videos of either of ours, they always tag the wrong person in. Or there's just hundreds of comments like, oh, that's not Alex Hoban. That's actually Joe Tasker's video. So if you could please credit the right person, that'd be great. Copyright reports. I'm like, no, it's actually me.
It's actually
the same vice versa. But I can't believe that that happened, because no one's ever recognized me. They've always recognized me as Joe. So they're like, oh, hello, Joe. And I'm like, hello, or whatever.
Because he's always northern. Yeah.
So I do his northern accent to them and try and play it off. But this one time, they thought I was with you.
Yeah, so
great.
me and Joe were out filming in London yesterday in Leicester Square, top location for anyone doing a viral video. And we got a couple of fans came up for pictures. And then this morning, Alex texted me because the picture of me and Joe was actually tagged me and you.
Yeah, exactly. So it was tagged Johanna and Alex when I was hundreds of miles away.
Do you know what? This is a good thing, because in the future, if you guys ever need like a stand-in or a body double, or like when you get really famous and you need someone to like, you know, you guys can like confuse paparazzi and stuff.
Exactly. I mean, he is like me, but better looking, younger, and more unique, because he's got this little eye thing that he's got going on.
He's got
I will struggle there with my double chin and my receding hairline. He's just got locks of hair.
He got a lot of hair, that guy.
Chiseled jawline. I'm like, hello. And people know, like, everyone's like, you're the son of Mr. Bean. I'm like, well, thank you very much. He's a great comedian, but he's also very ugly.
Oh, do you remember earlier in the show when we were talking about The Rock being president?
Yeah, what's going on?
Right, so we actually put out a Twitter poll. And we've said 64% would like The Rock, 36% would like Kanye.
Yes, suck it, Kanye.
But a bit worrying that like more people than I thought.
Yeah, I've heard that Kanye's actually in the mountains at the moment recording his new mixtape.
Sure he is.
Something like that.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah. He's doing something in the mountains and everyone's wondering what it is.
Right, okay, we've had a tweet in from Maria Armedio, who says,
what's that, Maria?
I voted The Rock, but I would also like to say Kanye would be preferred over the twat in the office right now.
Yes.
Couldn't have put it better myself, Maria. Yes, well done.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. You tell her.
I mean, Kanye would be better, but it would be weird. I think it would be like the national anthem would be all like trap music and stuff.
Yeah. National anthem. Everyone stands up, hands on the chest, move it, make it on the red,
America is so great. Brilliant. Okay, so keep going over to our Twitter at Fubar Radio if you want to get involved in that poll. It's still open. Let us know, The Rock or Kanye West for president 2020. To be fair, just anyone but the Trumpster would be good right now. Talking of like remixes and music and stuff, I've been looking online and trying to find remixes, some cool remixes of either TV show theme tunes or old school things. So, you know, Singing in the Rain, one of the most classic movie songs ever. Yeah. And I found a cool remix to it, so I thought I'd play it.
Let's
right
go.
Now. Back Row and Chill.
Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Singing in the rain.
Fubar Radio presents
The Hannah Whitten Show.
The way that this game works is that Abby has got a list of sex positions, and then we have to basically guess if it's real or not.
Precipice.
Well, if you can't spell it, it's real.
What's happening?
Yep, that's definitely real.
You didn't make that up. You didn't down. Do you want to try to describe that?
Boobs in the air. The thing you have to be careful about this is that this looks like a position where the penis could quite easily fall out.
And it could be not just vaginal.
Any holes a goal? Am I right, Max?
Lads.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. Well, I really want to... I love Hannah Whitten.
Yeah.
I really want to. I've had that wasn't a sentence, but I think I really want to listen to Hannah Whitten.
Oh, is she on this radio station?
She is. That was just her show.
Oh, jeez, yeah. It sounded. I heard parts, and I was a bit like, oh, that's a bit risque.
Hannah Whitten. She's a YouTuber, and she has this amazing, really frank, honest YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I have watched a couple of her stuff online, and it's brilliant.
Really? So check it out.
I'll recommend. Right. So me and Alex, we're going to go Facebook Live very, very soon. I've prepared a truth or dare, because we're not doing any dares, but they're truth questions. I'm going to put Alex and me, we're going to be go through a lie detector, and I've got a polygraph machine, a very expensive piece of equipment.
That is not what it is.
Which is also electrocutes you if you lie.
Yeah.
So
it's an electrocution.
It's yes.
machine, which I'm not. I don't even know what these questions are going to be. / I haven't actually prepared any for you, so I'm hoping.
Okay.
That I will find my.
I'm not going to lie.
Innovation.
I am really scared of even now just thinking about electricity. My palms are sweaty. I'm really scared of electricity.
Okay. Is this why you didn't get me to do any questions? Is this okay. So you can punish me.
Oh, we're Facebook Live. So hey,
what's up? I will.
If you're listening, go to Facebook at Johanna James. Hi, and we are going to be doing a lie detector test with Alex Hoban.
Oh, here it is.
Here it is. Okay, are you ready?
What is this? This is apparently the polygraph machine. When it just looks like a button. Have you got a button that you're going to press and just keep electrocuting me?
No, I don't control it. We're just going to work this out as we go along. If you want me to electrocute Alex, keep liking on the Facebook page.
No, that is not how it's going down.
I've got my questions. Alex, place your hand on the machine for me, please. I've got my questions and we're going to start the countdown.
No, this is... I'm not happy about this at all.
Ready?
Producer Abby is trying to... She's trying to get me to put my hand in this thing.
Okay.
It's right hand. Oh, this is my strong hand as well. Okay.
Ready? Okay.
Oh, Alex, give me some slack, Abby. Come on.
He's being prepared to be electrocuted. Okay. Oh, you shouldn't. Oh.
So what have I got to press now?
Okay. First question. Are we ready? Do you pick your nose and eat it?
No.
Oh!
What is that? No, look, so it didn't electrocute me, but Abby, you're sketching me out right now. What are you pressing on this? This is...
I'm not pressing anything. I need to make it happen.
Okay. We'll do another question. That was a warm-up.
To make it electric... Okay, here we go. Wait, okay. No.
No. You do not pick your nose and eat it.
I don't.
It'll do it on the next one.
Okay.
What do you mean? It's going to electrocute me on the next one?
Yeah. Well, no.
Okay, right.
Basically, I don't get this bit, but I get the next bit. So pop your hand on. There we go. Ask a question.
Oh, this is...
Okay, right.
Hand down.
Okay.
Have you ever worn the same underwear for 2 days in a row?
Yes. Oh my god, these sounds are intense. I said what? Yes.
Just put your hand down.
I'm scared for him.
I'm pushing my hand down.
Okay, I think you passed that one. I think it's my turn.
Oh, thank God.
It's my turn.
I'm sweating. Okay. I'm sweating so hard.
You need to hold your hand down.
Okay, here we go.
Right, over there.
Okay. Oh!
This is not fun. I answered truth.
Okay.
This is some absolute...
There are the questions, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it.
Oh, man. Sorry for throwing that on the floor, producer.
Okay.
Abby.
Ready? Should have reset it.
Yeah, well, you definitely got to reset it. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, Facebook Live and Fubar Radio. This feels rigged. I mean,
it's not going to show you.
This machine cannot tell me whether or not I've worn my boxers twice in a row, which I definitely have.
I'm sweating so much.
Okay, Johanna.
I'm shaking.
So,
okay,
here we go. Have you ever blamed a fart on someone else?
Yes.
Start the machine.
Yes, I have.
Start the machine. Say yes, loudly.
Don't hold my hand down, Abby!
Yes. She said yes, machine. Zapper! Oh, my God.
Oh, wasn't that bad. I think I'm... Ooh.
Are you kidding? Yours wasn't that bad. Oh. I felt like I'd been blown into the upside down on Stranger Things.
Okay.
This game... I'm going to put out this game is not truth, but anyway, I'm on the radio. I've got to do it again.
I definitely need to play this some more. This is a fun pub game.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, last question.
No, Abby, it's fine. You go, Abby. Abby, continue with your day. Thank you. I'm in charge of this.
Last question. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever been attracted to a member of your family?
Oh no.
You're lying.
What? This, that is absolute madness. Firstly, the only member of my family that's female is my mother.
Oh, so that's wrong.
So unless you're going for a Freudian approach, then that's not true. And then also, I was in Iceland recently, and they have an app, actually, this is a true story,
okay,
that tells you how far back you're related to the girl you meet on the night out, because everyone in Iceland is
related.
Yeah, so there's only 300,000 people in Iceland, so instead of Tinder, you have whatever this app is called, where you...
How much are we related at?
Hey, can I buy you a drink? Yes. Well, let's just check on this app to make sure we're 5 generations...
Not related.
Yeah.
We don't want to.
So, how mad's that? Anyone from Iceland, shout out. Yeah. It's a wicked country. Okay. Anyway, over to you. Last go.
One more. Okay.
My hand is still bad. Look at this.
Okay, I think we've done all the questions, so maybe you have to think of one off the top of your head.
Okay.
Think of one off the top of your head.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, one more. We are playing, if you've just joined us on the radio or on Facebook Live, we are doing Truth or Dare with an electricity machine. I'm about to be electrocuted. What do I do? Press start, yeah?
Yeah. So you put your hand in.
You press reset. Start. Oh, I press reset.
Okay. Ooh. Got to press start. Hold down start. Here we go. Okay,
fucking hell, fucking hell.
Have you ever dropped something on the floor for longer than 10 seconds and eaten it?
I've got to press start again. Hold on.
Yeah.
Have I dropped something on the
floor? Have you?
Yeah, for sure. I've done that.
Not observed the 10 second rule. Okay. Well,
I've done that.
I don't believe you, and this isn't going to... What?
It's
the truth.
It's the truth.
Oh man, this machine can't make up its mind. Okay, hand down, firmly.
I'm too scared.
Firmly,
I'm shaking.
Johanna. She's so scared right now.
I don't
want
to do it.
Look. Oh my god. Jesus. Abby, get this machine out of here.
Right, that's enough. Let's go to a song. Please press like. We just electrocuted ourselves live on
that
Facebook.
That is horrible. Don't buy one of these.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not giving
me.
You any branding. Oh Shop Live Reloaded.
Back row and chill.
Thank you.
Hannah James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Getting a little bit smoother with those joins. Was,
those are the jams.
MC Peanut Butter Ice Cream.
Is that it? No, oh yeah, that's you.
That was
you. MC Bolognese.
Bolognese. Well, earlier, Lucy, welcome to the show.
Hi.
We were talking about what your like DJ name would be, and apparently it's MC and the last thing you ate. So
what's yours, Lucy?
God, what was the last thing?
What thing you ate?
So his was Bolognese.
Oh, Whisper Gold.
Oh, that is,
MC Whisper
that
Gold.
Is fire. Yeah. That is fire.
I like that one.
That's a brilliant
MC
one.
MC Whisper I'm Gold. Okay with special.
Lovely.
Yeah, and so I'm MC Peanut Butter Ice Cream.
that's really
that's
good as well,
good
to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, mine is just awful. Can you just mean like special bolognese on the beats? Fire in the booth.
Chili bolognese. Yeah,
inside the place. Add the cheese.
I go to a DJ night with DJ Bolognese.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Cheese night.
Cheese night, right. So welcome. Lucy is our resident film reviewer, and this is the part of the show where we talk, chat about things we've seen, what's coming up, and warn you guys whether something is a big hit or a big miss.
Or a big shitter. We don't like those.
Yeah, don't want big shits. Avoid the turds.
Yeah.
Basically. So what have people been watching this week that they can either like talk about or, you know, slate or rate, I guess?
I'm very, very, very excited about the one thing that I want to talk about this week.
Okay.
I went and saw King Arthur on Wednesday.
How good is it?
Oh, my God. It's so, so good. Obviously, for people that don't know, this is Guy Ritchie's new film, starring Charlie Hunnam, Jude Law, Jaimin Hunsu, loads and loads of different people. Basically, everybody that ever came into contact with Guy Ritchie is in the film, which is lovely. And it's the origin story of King Arthur, you know, the whole sword in the stone dealio.
Yeah.
But obviously it's reimagined because it's Guy Ritchie. And I was slightly concerned, I must admit, because I was thinking, how the hell is Guy Ritchie, with his signature way of making and writing films, going to translate to that sort of time period?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like Robin Hood style stuff.
And at first I was watching it, I was like, oh no, this is really weird. But within minutes, I was absolutely enthralled by it, and it is just brilliant. It is absolutely amazing in every single way. There were a couple of things that I was cringing at, but I just don't care, you know. And I read reviews after I watched it, because I don't like to sully my opinion with other people's bullshit. So
that's good.
I make my own opinion, and then I you know, read everybody else's. And Variety and Rolling Stone were just ripping it to shreds, and I just thought, you miserable bastards, did you actually watch the same film that I watched?
Yeah.
You know, it's so much fun, and it's made beautifully, it's visually amazing, the acting is obviously brilliant. Jude Law is the most evil bastard ever, and
who does he play?
He's so good at it. He plays the king's brother.
Okay.
Because obviously, Charlie Hunnam doesn't know he's King Arthur. That's the whole origin story with the sword and the stone and things like that. But Jude Law is the current king, basically his uncle, and he's so evil and so good at it. You know, because in recent years he's just been, you know, we've seen him in The Holiday and Tutti Frutti little things where he's being lovely or, you know, some kind of hero. But this is just a complete bastard.
He can be a
dick. So good at it. So good at it. Charlie Hunnam's accent obviously was ropey, but to be fair, the poor man doesn't even know his own accent is
now. Yeah, but what is Charlie Hunnam's accent?
He was born in Newcastle, raised a bit further down south. But when you spend 7 or 8 years on a TV show, putting on that dodgy American accent. I'm so sorry, Charlie.
He's a bit here, there, and all over.
It's terrible, but then everybody uses their own accent in it, so it just doesn't matter. The action sequences are brilliant. The score is quite experimental and eclectic, and you know, some of it you think that doesn't really belong there, but then once you get into it, it just brings it home. Yeah. You know, it's just, and
awesome.
The CGI is brilliant, and I just can't go on about this enough. I have written a massive blog post about it, so you know. Go onto Twitter, find my blog, and go and read it, and you will want to see it.
Yeah, for sure. And what's your Twitter handle so people can find your blog? Because it's very good.
Popcorn and PNM.
Popcorn and PNM. When I read that, I think popcorn and PMS, and I'm like,
what is PNM?
That is Pick and Mix.
Oh, Pick and Mix. Yeah. Oh.
Although, now you've just ruined it by saying popcorn and PMS. Yeah. That literally is my life.
Shout out to Yellow Belly Jelly Snakes.
Excellent.
But Pick and Mix, there we go.
Yeah.
I got a vomiting virus from Pick and Mix once.
No way. Because obviously those people just put their hands in.
Yeah, because people putting their hands in and stuff.
Oh, no.
I worked in a cinema for one night as an actor on Halloween, dressed up as a vampire, and we were supposed to jump out and scare the shit out of people.
Excellent.
Which was very fun job. But at the end, they were like, just take what you want from the Pick and Mix. work, so obviously I went in.
Yeah, you went in hard.
I went in hard, and then I went to it takes a couple of hours for it to set in, vomiting virus.
Take hold.
So then I went to a house party, and I literally was like, 10 minutes at the house party, went upstairs, everything was coming out of everywhere. I like came down the stairs, vomited all in the hallway.
Oh, gross.
And everyone was like, she's wasted. And I was like, no,
I'm really not.
I haven't even had a drink
minutes.
I've been working and have Pick-a-Mix coming out.
I'm dressed as a vampire at the cinema with the Pick-a-Mix, you know, the Pick-a-Mix and the cinema and the vampire thing. That's it.
And I looked
it was like, she's still wasted. That's definitely drunk.
I was like a zombie vampire, so obviously I looked like shit, and then I was vomiting as well. So people thought it was all. One guy came and laughed at me, and thought it was like part of my costume. I was like,
I'm
on the
dying.
Floor, like, no, help me, help me.
Don't cry wolf now, because if you were sick, then I wouldn't call them.
Exactly.
And you're like, I am. Sick.
I'm like, I'm going to shit myself. You need to get me out of here.
Oh, well, I'm never having Pick-a-Mix again.
Yeah, so now I'm a little bit with that in my mind. When I go to the cinema, I'm like, you know what? I'll just buy a bag from Sainsbury's.
Yeah,
I'll just have my chance.
You know, living. Oh, I've got to say YOLO. Yeah,
yeah.
YOLO.
But apparently, YOLO, just to veer off for a second, it was actually supposed to be the opposite of, you know, people like do something crazy and they go, yeah, well, you only live once, YOLO. It's supposed to be the opposite. It's like, yeah, well, you only live once, so be careful.
Oh, really?
All right.
Well,
it should be. It should be YOLO. Drive safely.
Yeah, that's completely
not like YOLO.
No, that's stupid.
To your last effort, which was scare yourself, do something.
Yeah,
so you can't.
But you can scare yourself
circle.
In a safe environment.
No,
you can do that. You can.
Well, I mean, that wasn't safe, producer Abby.
I know.
I'm going to be honest with you. I did not sign any disclaimer.
I think we saw probably like the health and safety regulations.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like.
If you're listening, government.
The government of the radio.
Yeah, the all-watching eye.
Right, so, okay, I'm going to go and see King Off. That's on my...
Yes, do. Everybody go and see it.
The only thing I have to ask about is because I've heard loads of people being like, David Beckham.
I refuse to talk about it. And no. I even said, the last line of my blog is like, David Beckham is a football player, not an actor. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't... To be honest, I was cringing so much I didn't look at it. I didn't watch him. I listened to him, but I had my phone in front of my face because I could not look
really?
At him.
But why was he in the film then?
Well, Guy Ritchie just puts his mates in films, doesn't he? That's just what he does.
Okay, yeah. So could you recognise him? Like, was it completely obvious?
You could. And I went with my housemate, and he, like he always does, he's an incessant tapper. He taps me and whispers things in my ear while watching films.
Oh,
and I knew what he was going to say, and I was like, how do you not know that David Beckham is in it?
Yeah.
You know? And he was really, really shocked. And I was like, it's been everywhere, all over the internet. Everyone's been slagging it off, you know. And you could, even though he did have, you know, really dodgy makeup on and like proper brown teeth, you could see it was him and you could hear it was him as well.
For sure.
And it was quite aggressive what he did. Like the lines he was given to deliver were quite...
Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah, you know, it was quite threatening, you know. And he's so sweet. Like, he doesn't seem right.
Yeah, his voice is just not right, is it?
Like, but it was over within about 30 seconds, and I was quite pleased about that.
Okay.
So I saw, I caught up with a movie that came out ages ago, but I watched Split.
Okay,
oh, what did
cool.
you think?
Yeah, which I really liked. And I didn't realise it was made on such a low budget. It was made on £9 million, which is for Hollywood is like not a lot. And so, yeah, that was just... But it made back something like £250 million.
I'm not
Jesus,
surprised.
Jesus, what an investment.
Yes, they paid out £9 million, got back like
bloody
£245 million.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Somebody's having a good night out.
Oh, for sure. And so they said that the next Split 2 is going to be like a lot bigger budget, and they're going to really go to town. And Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis have signed on, so it's going to be a big
awesome.
It's like a crossover type thing.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen the movie, a Split is actually a surprise. Prize sequel to the movie Unbreakable from years and years ago. I really enjoyed it. So the premise of Split is three girls who get kidnapped by this guy who has split personality disorder, and he has 23 different persons living inside one body. And there might be a 24th. That's what the film's about.
Imagine that playing a role.
Well,
was amazing.
Yeah. He was amazing.
No, wasn't he?
He was absolutely incredible. Every single character, I fully believe. I was just watching him just be, and I was just like, "You are everything."
There was a point as well when he was talking to his therapist, and he goes from the nice sort of semi-normal one to the real evil bastard, and all he does is slightly change his facial expression.
Yeah.
He doesn't move. He just does something with James McAvoy is a revelation.
You can tell he's a different character.
Absolutely amazing.
He's
so good.
It's a character pretending to be another character.
Yeah.
a bit of a mind fuck, this one, but you can tell. And anyway, so he was up for an MTV, like a movie award, and he didn't win it, and Emma Watson won.
We need to talk about that.
Emma Watson won over James McAvoy in Split, and I'm like, where is the flipping Oscar?
Yeah.
Where is the Oscar? He's brilliant.
Exactly.
I don't even have
23 words in my vocabulary, let alone 23 people. <sentences. laughs>
But yeah, he was just brilliant, and I really like the story and like the subplot and the whole backstory to the main girl.
Yeah.
Was really good. A bit of sort of, yeah, quite really dark but brilliant. So I completely missed the boat when that came out in the cinema, and I watched it, and that was great.
Yeah.
But maybe would watch it with someone, because I was watching it with two friends, and we all jumped on the sofa like, yeah.
Really?
Quite jumpy.
I think I actually went to cinema on my own for that one, as usual.
Brave girl.
I did shit myself. It was creepy.
That's why you're on your own.
Yeah. Everyone knows that's what happens.
I've got this one, and I got this one. These are my two personalities. This one is when you accidentally turn the front camera on. And then this one is when I see a girl in the street and try to get that jawline. You know what I mean?
You're right.
It's supposed to be like, how you doing, girl? You cool?
What are you saying?
Then she sees me with a glass light on, I'm like, gotta keep that double chin away, fellas. You know what I'm saying?
I've actually like photoshopped a double chin out of a
really
yeah,
no way. How'd you do that?
I learned how to Photoshop. And I Photoshopped my jaw.
Anyone wants to give me a workshop, hit me up.
I Photoshopped my jaw different. This was in the days before automatic filters. Now it does it all for you.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I had to Photoshop all my profile pictures.
What is this? Effect. I've never heard of any of these things.
What?
I'm just always there with a double chin.
No, you got to get on Snapchat. Filters. Get the filters. And
filters.
Android filters now are like... iPhone need to step up because Android filters
are Android.
Yeah. One thing that I watched on Netflix, which I've been waiting for a while because it was caused a bit of controversy, was Casting JonBenet, which is a documentary. Yeah. Well, I didn't really get what the concept was. It was a very weird.
Until I started watching it, I was like, eh?
I was
for
like,
a while.
What is this?
Yeah.
So it's a documentary film about the whole awful murder of JonBenet Ramsey in 1996, which is weird because I remember this because she was the same age as me.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember I was 6 years old, and my mum, and I remember watching the news, and my mum saying, oh, this little girl's been, she was a beautiful beauty pageant princess.
Gorgeous little girl.
She was in the toddler pageants, and somebody killed her. And there was so much dodgy stuff went on around.
Yeah.
They said, was it the parents? Was it the mum? Was it the dad? Was it the brother? So they've made this Netflix very controversial, and they've done it in a bit of a weird way. So they got amateur actors. They did a casting call in her hometown, and they got amateur actors to come forward and play the roles of the family and the police officer.
Jesus.
And it's played by, and you see the auditions of these amateur actors, and some of them are like, oh my god, and some of them are brilliant. You're like, okay, you know X Factor. And then there's, but they're talking about how personally maybe they were affected because they're from the hometown. But then they got like, they were saying, oh there was no way that they thought maybe the brother might have, because the girl died from head wounds.
Wow.
They found her in the basement
of the house. And there was a 3-page ransom note.
Jesus.
Yeah.
She died from head wounds, but there was also signs of other sexual abuse and things. They thought, well, maybe it was the brother, but the brother was about 9 or something.
Jeez.
And they said, oh, he wouldn't have had the strength.
No.
But in the video, they audition the boys, and they give them a torch and a watermelon, and they say, can you? And some of the boys destroy the watermelon. So you're like, you know what? 9-year-old boys.
Yeah. Probably could have done that.
Probably could harm someone if they actually
tried.
That
is madness.
Don't disappear. So check it out. It's a weird one. You know, it's not... It's just an interesting
one. It's not for everybody, but it is interesting.
Yeah,
it does
and
make you think.
If you didn't know the story of JonBenet Ramsey, because there are so many things that went wrong, people
say... Total bodge job.
Yeah,
really.
All the police... People were walking in and out of the crime scene, so all of the evidence couldn't be used.
Yeah,
so no one's ever really solved it.
No.
It's one of those mystery murders. Poor little girl, and she's absolutely gorgeous.
Beautiful girl,
she was this, like, perfection little Barbie girl.
Wow.
Blonde ringlets, the lot, yeah.
So that was my Netflix watch for the week. Have you been watching anything, Alex?
As I said, Game of Thrones. I obviously finished Broadchurch a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Did that one. That was good. But not in terms of any of this contemporary stuff that you're talking about. I'm kind of lost in this conversation.
I think it's because we have to watch something.
We've got to go into the depths,
start watching stuff. Yeah.
One thing I did watch and I was going to play for you guys was Alien Covenant, which I believe is out today.
Oh, okay.
Which yep. was actually really super good. Really? Because I didn't like Prometheus, and I'm not.
Yeah, neither did I actually.
I've like semi watched some of the Alien, like I know like the standard scenes and whatever.
Yeah.
But I haven't really totally watched it. And then, but this one I went along to review because I was going to interview some of the actors from it, and it was just really, really good. And
okay,
I found
cool.
myself,
very excited
I went into
the
cinema like super sleepy, and it woke me up.
Lovely.
And it was good. It was filmed beautifully, and yeah. there was lots of just really good acting. And Danny McBride, who I love, he's part of the whole like Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen.
So
yeah.
jealous
club.
You got to meet him.
I did get to meet him. Yeah, kind of fangirl a little bit over here.
Yeah, I think I would.
he it's his first like role that I've seen like serious
yeah,
acting
yeah.
role. And he's not funny in it. And
really?
He's just really good.
He's really good at acting.
yeah.
Ridley Scott just creates his crazy world though, doesn't he?
Right?
For sure.
Amazing. Yeah.
And I was looking at the main girl in it and looking at her face through the whole thing like, I know you. I know your face. What have you been in? She's the main girl with brown hair in Fantastic Beasts, the Harry
okay.
Potter revival.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh, you're getting around, girl.
yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Which is really... And she's like 37 or something.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoop, there's hope for us.
Yep.
Actresses that
yeah.
are not 19. This is brilliant.
I tell you what I did see. Look, it just came to me then.
Excellent.
I knew there was something I saw. King Kong. The new
Ooh,
one, Kong Skull Island.
Because I haven't watched it. I've not been bothered.
I liked it. It
yeah.
was exactly what you expect.
Oh, well, that's
from
good
a King Kong,
what
from
you
a King Kong
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
like an epic giant.
The one thing
panda.
I liked
no.
about it was that he stood up like a man.
Yeah.
So Kong Kong walked like that rather than, you know,
yeah.
all fours.
Like that.
Yeah.
Which was weird. But no, it was brilliant. And like the size of it, obviously, with the really good graphics, the same people that did Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I thought it was good. It was set in the 70s, so
yeah,
that
insane.
It completely, immediately, it's like, oh, this is Ireland that
wow.
we haven't found yet, because it's the 70s and
yeah.
we don't have drones, so it's fine.
And it has
Makes
the
sense.
Wonderful, beautiful...
Oh, Brie Larson.
No, the
no.
man.
Oh. Brie Larson is beautiful.
Brie Larson
oh,
is
Oh, Tom
beautiful.
Hiddleston.
That's the guy. This guy,
Love
he
him.
Can play any role.
Yeah.
Literally
yep.
any role, and he's a machine in this
Low
one.
Loki, Bond.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah literally.
Yeah,
he could definitely play Bond, please.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston was a super... Yeah, but yeah, it's a good movie. It's a good, you know, it's a good popcorn movie. Friday night, definitely watch Kong.
I think now
yeah.
I've just gone past that point because it's not in the cinema anymore.
No.
Or
I,
is it? Because things are really hanging around lately.
Yeah,
yeah.
nothing else has come out.
I know,
it's been really bad.
But Alien is coming out, and I do recommend... That would be probably my top one for the moment, and I've got the little trailer to play for you guys
Lovely.
Now.
Hit it.
Because it's, yeah, it's a really, really good film. So here we go.
You've all sacrificed so much to be here and be a part of this thing we're doing.
This crew is made up of couples.
It's the first ever large-scale colonization mission. And everyone back on Earth is really grateful for your hard work and your courage. We're making history here.
This is wheat. What are the odds of finding human vegetation this far from Earth?
Who planted it? You hear that?
What?
Nothing. No birds. No animals. Nothing. What happened here?
James on FUBAR Radio.
Starry nights, sunny days. I always thought that love should be that way. Then comes a time that you're ridden with doubt. You bluffed all you can and now you're all loved out.
My mind says it's so. That we
bother to say. I think a little emotion goes a long, long way. Careful now, don't get caught in your dreams. Look out, baby, this is not what it seems. Ooh, ooh, baby, you've been so good to me. But please don't make it what it's not. Well, I thought we agreed on what we need. So listen to seeing what I've been saying, 'cause I hear you singing to the tune I'm playing. Now that it's said and we both understand, let's say our goodbyes before it gets out of hand. Bye, bye, baby, I'd really like to stay, but we'll remember the best time in our lives.
Yeah, that is Wham Bam by Silver, which was from Guardians
Wham
of the Galaxy.
Wham Bam, thank you, ma'am.
Wham Bam, thank you, ma'am. Yeah, I'm loving it. At first, when I listened to the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack, I went, oh, it's not quite the same as the first one.
No, it's not.
But now I've had it on repeat, I'm like...
You have to sort of let yourself go and, you know, forget the first one a little bit because it's so, so good.
So good.
Yeah.
And let the second one in.
Mm.
I need to try. Yeah. I'm going to go and try and see it tonight, I think.
Try and see it in IMAX if you can. It just makes it
Waterloo?
Much better.
Is that where
anywhere
the IMAX
that's
is?
IMAX.
Oh, there's various. Okay, I didn't
know. I don't. When you say IMAX, I just think Waterloo.
Oh, no, I'll go to Basildon.
Oh, Basildon.
So if Basildon's got one, then you're
brilliant.
Fine.
Right, so just doing a little bit more film reviews. So we've got, well, it's not a film, actually. It's a TV series. I thought, you know what, I'm going to explore the interface of... Amazon Prime, because I tend to go to Netflix, so I was like, no, let's give everyone
Prime
a fair
give it a go.
Yeah, and I found a show called Black Sails, which was really cool, and I just did the first episode, and I actually didn't get all the way through the first episode, not because it was bad, but because I was so tired and I was reviewing other things as well. But I'm going to keep going because it was really cool, and it's like a Pirates of the Caribbean style drama, like money's in it. It's
excellent.
Really good. You know,
awesome.
When you do historical and it's a bit, there was a Netflix recently that they just didn't have the budget.
Aquaman in it.
Yeah. With Jason Momoa. And they didn't have Khal Drogo, basically. Yeah. And they didn't have the budget and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
So this is like really good budget and it opens on a big boat fight, which you love. And the main guy in it, he reminds me of Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
He's got like a Heath Ledger-y kind of
vibe. Who is it? Can you remember what his name is?
I cannot remember the name, but he's gorgeous. He's nice to watch. And
lovely.
And he's got like a Heath Ledger, a young Heath Ledger element to him. And if you like a bit of pirate and stuff, head over to Amazon Prime, Black Sails.
Nice.
Or American.
I feel like Amazon Prime missed a trick with Transformers. They should have brought the rights to it at the beginning and called
really
Optimus
should.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
They really should.
Oh, man. That's...
would have been...
Yeah. I mean, copyright.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
factoid of the week that I found. So, this is... I hope this is true. You never can trust the internet.
No.
But apparently, the CEO of Netflix offered a partnership when they were, like, beginning Netflix.
Yeah.
They offered a partnership to the CEO of Blockbuster.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, he laughed in his face.
Yeah, well, you would, wouldn't you?
Gutted,
at the time.
Blockbuster
and
man.
So, he said, you know, we've got this thing where we thought people can watch movies at home and then they pay a subscription. And they were like, no, we've got our VHS.
So now that guy must be crying every night into a bottle of wine.
I can see why he did it. He'd be like, well, to be honest, why would I go with you when I've got my own thing here?
When you're probably going to put
everyone,
me out of business.
Yeah, put us out of business, which they did in the end.
Which, exactly. But if they were in partnership, then that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah.
Silly, silly man.
Money. And Netflix, they turn over something like $2 billion a year.
It's madness.
It always happens, though. Like, same happened with Snapchat.
Yeah.
If any... The sort of moral of the story is, if somebody offers you a partnership in a business,
just jump in.
Yeah.
Just put five rings in.
Exactly.
So, competition time. So last week we had this huge movie package to win from Sleepless, the movie, the new movie with Jamie Foxx, also a good movie. And we have found our winner, and congrats to it's A Diamond 1987 and Gregio underscore UK from Twitter. You have won the merch pack each, so we're going to send that out to you.
Awesome.
Well done.
What's the pack? Is it like a bed or something?
No, you win a bundle prize, including like a t-shirt, sunglasses, key ring.
Okay.
It was quite cool. And we've got another competition that we're going to kick off right now. For your chance to win a DVD of La La Land. Cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Head over to Fubar Radio's Twitter and just make sure you give us a follow and just retweet the image that we are posting right now, and we've got five to give away, so get involved. Can I have one?
Yeah, can I have one?
Oh, they said no.
How funny with the
damn it, I've got a renter like everyone else
with people's emails when it's like dirtyangel69@hotmail.com.
Like,
you need to get a Gmail account, let's be honest. Like,
for sure.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's always
everyone's
like,
got an embarrassing Gmail
on the CV.
Definitely.
It's like, my name's Barbara, 39. And then it's like in the top corner, like dirtyangel69@hotmail.com. It's like, okay, Barbara, come on. Okay,
do you want to know? Well, I think the account's gone now, so I can say, but my first ever email address, which I had for years beyond, it was flyingfishfrog@hotmail.com.
Really?
I invented this like animal. I was doodling one day and I was like, it's a flying fish frog with like wings and legs, and it was how embarrassing.
That's so funny.
But it got to the point where I started to get jobs and I have to give my email. I was like, you can just contact me at flyingfishfrog.
flyingfishfrog.
I need a new email.
That's a good one. Tweet in your first emails.
Yeah.
And feel free. Yeah, embarrass yourself.
And also your,
bank account details.
Bank account details.
Account code.
That'd be great.
Lovely.
All right, we've come to the end of the show.
What a shame.
Next week we'll be back with more entertainment news, more guests that we can interview about the industry.
Yeah.
And we're going to be reviewing way more films. Thank you so much, Alex, today.
No worries.
Brilliant.
Follow me on all social media.
Yeah, make sure you check out Alex Hoburn on all social medias.
H-O-B-E-R-N, for those of you who spell it with an L.
Yeah, also Beardless Boy 69.
Yeah, Beardless Boy. Big Dirty Al 69.
Right, and so to my last one, my last mashup song of the day, I found a mashup with The Weeknd and the Stranger Things theme tune.
Lovely.
Mixed by DJ Peanut Butter Ice Cream.
Mixed by yours truly, DJ Peanut Butter Ice Cream. So I'm going to pay.
Featuring Bolognese.
We have to like drop a track.
100%.
We have to. Brilliant. Okay, have a good week, guys. We'll see
you next
week.
Peace out, guys. Bye. Thanks for listening.